better and better. So how has your week been? Good. Praise the Lord. I'm glad to hear it. You know, there seems like there's been some Christians who've lost their joy and have lost their peace because of the way our government situation is. And when that happens, it's because our faith has been shaken. We need to realize that our hope is not in our government. Yeah. Right. Praise the Lord. and if your hope is in your government, you're gonna get shaken. Okay? You're trembling. But I want you to remember, do you know what the culture of Rome was like during Jesus' day? Yeah, kind of like us today, maybe a little worse. But do you ever remember Jesus getting really upset over the culture of the day? It was like he had an assignment. And he just stayed focused on what his assignment was. He didn't deviate from his assignment. I think oftentimes we as Christians, when our faith is shaken, we begin to get sidetracked in the things that the Lord has called us to do. And so I would just encourage you, brothers and sisters, don't get sidetracked. We have a mission. And it's not to battle the other side, whatever side you're on. Your mission is not to battle the other side. Our mission is to battle the enemy, who is Satan, and be able to accomplish what God has called us to do. We're going to start a new series today called Unshakable Faith. Unshakable Faith. Now, there's a difference in mountain-moving faith and a faith where we just trust the Lord day in and day out. And that's what I'm going to be talking about, not the mountain-moving faith. Here's the thing. I believe if we learn to trust the Lord in our daily walk, then we can have the mountain-moving faith that is spoken of in Scripture. Jesus said, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you can tell this mountain be cast into the sea, and it'll be cast into the sea. I'm not there yet, okay? And I'm not going to stand up here and tell you that I have my walk faith in such a way that I'm never out of the God zone. Okay. I still get pulled out sometimes. But here's what I want for us as a church. I want us to be that church that God looks at and says, I'm so pleased with life change because of the faith. Did you know that it is impossible to please God without faith? Matter of fact, this passage of Scripture in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. I try to get out of the way, but you just have to trust me if you can't see it. Hebrews 11, 6 says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So without faith, it is impossible to please God. So, if it's impossible to please God without faith, would it be accurate to say that the man or the more faith one has in God, the more pleasing they are to God. I believe as children of God, we want to please the Father. I think if you are not a believer in Jesus Christ, you're not going to have the desire to please the Father. Okay? If you're here today and your desire is not to please the Father, your desire is to please yourself, or your desire is to please your friends, but your desire is not to please the Father, then you're not a child of God. Because Scripture says that he who began a good work in us will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Scripture also says that he gives us not only the desire to do what he wants us to do, but also the willpower, the ability to do it. God gives us the desire to do his will. So if you're here today and you don't have the desire to please God, I would say that you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Because when you were born of the Spirit, when you received Christ as your personal Savior, there was something birthed in you that said, I want to please my Father. I want to please my Father. There's a passage of Scripture, and we're going to look at it in Luke chapter 7. It talks about a fellow whose faith made Jesus marvel. Can you even think about Jesus marveling? Whoa! Gee whiz! That's crazy! I'm astonished! That's amazing! Can you believe that? That you would think Jesus would just kind of be one of those guys that are just kind of, nothing surprises him. But this guy surprised him. Look, I want us to look at it together in Luke chapter 7, verses 1 through 10. It says, he entered Capernaum, and a certain centurion's servant who was dear to him was sick and ready to die. So when he heard about Jesus, he sent elders of the Jews to him, pleading with him to come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they begged him earnestly, saying that the one for whom he should do this was deserving. Now, let me just let you state again, this fellow, this Roman centurion, which means he's a captain over like 100 troops, okay? He's got some elders of the Jewish community together. And he asked the elders of the community, would you go to Jesus? I hear he's in town. Would you go to Jesus and ask him to come heal my servant? And so the elders of the Jews, because he had such respect that he had earned such respect from these elders, they decided, yes, we will do what this guy said. So they went to Jesus and asked him. It says, for he loves our nation, he has even built us a synagogue. So Jesus went with them. And when he was already not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to Jesus, saying to him, Lord, do not trouble yourself, for I am not worthy that you should enter my roof. Therefore, I did not even think myself worthy to come to you, but say the word, and my servant will be healed. So here Jesus is going. First, the centurion says, have Jesus come to my house. But the closer Jesus came, the centurion thing, man, I'm not even worthy for him to come into my house. So he called his servants together, and he sent some servants to Jesus. And he said, the servants said to Jesus, my master, he doesn't feel worthy to come to you. He doesn't feel worthy for you to come into the house. And so all he wants you to do is just speak the word, so that his servant will be healed. That blew Jesus away. That blew him away. He goes on to say, and this is very important, This verse 8, for I also am a man placed under authority, having soldiers unto me. And I say to one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it. So what he understood was that Jesus was under authority. And he understood that the only way Jesus could have authority was because he was under authority. The same way the centurion was under authority, and because he was under authority, he had authority. And he said, Jesus, I see that you're under authority. Therefore, you have the authority to heal my servant. Then in verse 9, when Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him. He turned around and said to the crowd that followed him, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. And those that were sent returned to the house and found the servant well, who had been sick. Isn't that amazing? Jesus marvels at this guy's faith. He is astounded by the faith of this guy. He's amazed by this centurion's faith. There were some other individuals that Jesus marveled, not at their faith, but their lack thereof. We find in Matthew four times, Jesus says, O ye of little faith. O ye of little faith. And then we find, I think it's in Mark, where there's a fellow who comes to Jesus with his son, the son is demon possessed. And he comes to the disciples and he asks the disciples, cast out the demon that continues to afflict my son. The disciples used every trick they knew. They did everything they could think of. And the demon didn't come out. And so the man brought his son to Jesus. And Jesus said, how long has he been this way? That's an important question because you need to know the entry point. How long has he been this way? And he said, ever since he was a child. Evidently, he was a grown man. He's still the son, but evidently he's a grown man. He said, ever since he was a child, he's been this way. Wouldn't that be heartbreaking? The demon kept trying to throw him in the water to drown him or throw him in the fire to burn him up, trying to kill him constantly. Scripture says the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy, and that's what was happening to this young man. Brought him to Jesus. And Jesus said to him, if you can believe, I'll do this for you. And the dad said, I believe. Help my unbelief. You know, I've prayed that prayer a lot. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. I don't know. I don't have that. Mark 9:23. I have my theologian over here, my commentary. Thank you, Tom. Mark 9:23. Thank you. I had it in my notes and I said, no, I'm not going to use that. And then I thought, you know how, Lance, when you're preaching, something comes to mind and you just kind of like blurt it. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's not so good. But so Mark chapter 9, verse 23. Lord, help my unbelief. Lord, help my unbelief. So I have to ask myself, does Jesus marvel over my belief and my faith, or my lack thereof? To be honest with you, I don't think he marvels over my belief. But during the next several weeks, we're going to use a little booklet that you have called The Bridge of Faith. Actually, it was put together by my brother Troy. Some of you know him, who pastors in the Gresham area. And he used this. This booklet was written 30, 40 years ago. And it was actually to help people who had problems with addiction to build their faith in God. So we're going to use this booklet, and there are 12 planks that he mentions here, and these 12 planks are planks, areas where people kind of fall through the cracks. Maybe there are some rotten boards on your bridge that need to be addressed, or something that needs to be shored up. So there's 12 planks that he has identified that would cause a person to have their faith shaken if they're not a permanent, solid structure. And so those of you who are on Zoom, you don't have this information. But in a few minutes, we're going to put this on the PowerPoint overhead so that you can look at that. We're going to take a test. And the test is, okay, in the back of your book, in the very back of your book, the 12 planks are mentioned. We're going to go through them one at a time. When we go through them, I want you to put on there on a scale of 1 to 10 how strong that plank is in your life. Okay? The 10 being, I never have any problem with that. I am good to go. I never lose my trust in the Lord regarding that aspect of my life. One being, man, I get stumped every time a situation arises. Yes, darling. Yes, we do. Jordan, anybody else need a book? Okay. Thank you for asking. And for those of you who are looking online, we've got extra books. So if you want to come by the office or let me know, I can get a book to you. Okay? For those of you who are on Zoom, for those of you who visit our website later on, let me know. Okay, one more up here, two more up here, three more up here, four more up here. Tom over here. Oh, he's got one. Okay. I thought you were raising your hand because you needed a book. Oh, okay. All right. Anyone else? Okay, so let's go through these. Ron didn't know what I was preaching on today. My wife didn't know what I was preaching on today. And both of them preached me a message yesterday on faith. So it's wonderful when we're all on the same page. And I can learn from others. Because Scripture says that God has given us, every one of us, a measure of faith. What we do with that measure will either be a marvelous thing, or it will be a detriment in our lives. Let's look at these 12 planks, and I'm going to get, you know, we're going to read one. You mark down on there how strong you are with that area of your life. Okay, so the first one is God's love, 1 through 10. You've got just right in. Say, yeah, just whatever. Yeah, I'm not sure why all the squares are there. I didn't write the book. Different dates. Okay, so on the first square. Well, what's the date of today? So this will be the first time. Thank you, Laura. This will be the first time that you fill this out. We're going to take the test again later on to see how much you've grown. Okay? So God's love. Good question, Cheryl. All right. The second one is, on a scale of 1 to 10, God's provision. How much do you trust God with His provision? God's forgiveness. Thank you, Cheryl. I always need correcting. God's salvation. Is that the right one? Okay, good. I'm on the right track. God's provision. You need a pen? Raise your hand. Okay, Carson needs a pen. Dylan needs a pen. God's total awareness. God's protection. God's presence. God's goodness. God's infinite power. God's deliverance. God's guidance. And God's timing. And what I would like for you to do is take your communication card and write on your communication card the two that are your highest and the two that are your lowest. Okay? Two that are your highest, two that are your lowest, because what I'm going to begin doing is praying for you regarding these areas of faith, particularly regarding the lowest on your scale. I think we're going to be moving into a season where the faith of every Christian is going to be tested. That you're going to experience some earthquakes in your life. And I want us to be a church that Jesus marvels at our faith. Okay? I want us to be a church. God, Jesus is looking, He's saying, man, He's telling all the angels, oh, look there, look at life change. Man, I'm so pleased with them. Okay, when you're finished, just kind of look up here. I don't want to rush you. So is there a difference between knowing God and knowing about God? Would you say that as you get to know God better, that you learn to trust Him in a deeper way? Okay. So in the next few weeks or several weeks, as we go through each plank, what I'm hoping to do is help you to get to know God better. Because if I can help you to get to know God better, your faith level is going to rise. I think the reason we don't have faith is because we really don't know the God who has called us. We don't know the God who we're serving. And so we're going to be talking about scripture verses that's going to apply to your specific situation where you feel weakest. And as you learn about God and learn of God and learn to trust Him in that area of your life, your faith level is going to increase beyond what it is now. And after these 12 sermons, and I'm not sure if I'm preaching, I don't know how many planks I'll get through in a week. Maybe half of one, probably not. But as we look at these and begin to apply them to your life, you're going to realize that your faith is going to increase. Okay? I want you to have a good foundation regarding knowing God and knowing His promises. Are there people in your life that you know when they make a promise, you don't have to worry about it? You just kind of like, it's going to happen. It's just going to happen. And you're not anxious about it. Now, that might not happen on your time frame, but you know it's going to happen. That's where we want to be with God, so that we can trust Him. Regardless of the situation, we know that we know that we know that we know that He's taking care of it. Even if it's not as soon as we would like for Him to, that we can trust Him. Many of you, I knew a lot about God growing up. My dad was a preacher. Knew a lot about God. I even read the Bible through several times during my teenage years. And I knew a lot about God, but I didn't know God. I was even baptized. But I didn't know God. Asked someone this past week, when did you first have an encounter with Jesus Christ? And the response was, well, I was baptized. You know what that told me? They probably did not understand what the question I was asking. Because having an encounter with Jesus Christ and being baptized is two different things. I've had people tell me, when did you become a Christian? Oh, I've always been a Christian. It's impossible to always be a Christian. It's possible to grow up in a Christian home. And it's possible to come to a place where you make the faith of your parents your own faith. But what I'm talking about is getting to know God through Jesus Christ. And until you receive Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you really can't know God. And you really can't trust Him. If you can't trust Him with your life, giving your life to God through Jesus Christ, asking Him to forgive you of your sins, then you really don't know God. You know about Him, but you don't know Him. And so the invitation this morning is, if you this morning feel like that I know about God, but I don't know Him, I've never received Christ as my personal Lord and Savior, I want to know Him today. The way you do that is by asking God to forgive you, because we've all sinned. And not just asking Him to forgive you, but with this mindset of, you know what, I'm not going that direction anymore. I'm going to turn around and I'm going to go a different direction. The second thing is it's something to do with trust. And the trust is that Jesus Christ paid for your sins. You don't have to pay for them. The trust is that Jesus is the one who is the way to heaven, the way to God, and only He's the only way. There's no other way. Now you may say, well, man, I've got to get myself to a better place and doing better before I can do that. Well, let me share this with you. You're never going to do better until you do that. Okay? You're never going to do better. Jesus wants you just like you are. But He loves you too much to leave you that way. Okay? So this morning, if you're without Christ, this invitation is for you. As we go through this study, there are going to be some rotten boards that we're going to find that have to be removed. And I'll help you remove them, because it's hard. Have you ever tried to lay nice planks over rotten planks? Not the best plan. So we're going to be removing some rotten things so that you can put the new on. Okay? Some of you have lies deep in your heart that God can't be trusted in this area. And we'll need to remove those lies before you can put the new on. Okay? Father, I come before you today. Lord, I'm excited about this study. And I'm excited about what you're going to do in this congregation. Lord, I want to be a person, a church, that you marvel at our faith.